nice sometimes to be able to go on holiday. Take time out from the regular hustle and bustle of life. I think life is busier now than it's ever been. And my favourite place to holiday is Snowdonia. I just love it there. The scenery is awesome. And I use that word because sometimes I will look out at the hills and the streams and the forest and I'll just say, my God made all of that. And I think of the song, How Great Thou Art, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, or when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. There is a phrase that says, one is nearer to God in a garden than anywhere else on earth. Well, my garden needs an awful lot of attention at the moment. But I think of Bodnant Gardens in Wales, which is, again, it's a lovely place, so beautiful and so peaceful. But there was a garden in Genesis, the Garden of Eden. And we read that God walked in the garden at the cool of the day. So how many people just love the idea of walking with God in the garden? Unfortunately, Adam and Eve had sinned and hidden themselves from God, and as a consequence were banished from the Garden of Eden. However, it is still God's desire to walk with man and for us to walk with him. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16 says, I will live among them and walk with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And this was a promise first given to the children of Israel, but it's still a promise for us today. We need to come out from the world and meet with God, to walk with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? John Bevere said that we butcher the English language so much. In the Bible, the words marvellous, awesome and wonderful are only used to describe God or his attributes. And so I went straight to the Concordance and found it to be true. Yet the world talks about seeing a wonderful movie or eating an awesome meal. Again, I started to check this out and listen to what people were saying. And we were skipping through something on the television. And just as we skipped through, this woman was presented with this meal and she went, oh, it's awesome! God is awesome, but so is the food we eat. This puts us in danger of losing the ability to communicate the awesomeness of God, because our God is an awesome God. But I want us just to close our eyes for a minute and think of the wonder of God. How wonderful is he in our hearts and in our minds? Perhaps you'd just like to share a thought that's come to your mind. And he talks with me. That's right, yes, it's lovely. That's one of the songs that's been on my heart this week as well. Yeah. Well, I put some thoughts down on paper. God created the heavens and the earth. By his great power, he created everything from nothing. He spoke and it came to be. God made man in his own image, but first he made sure that man was fully resourced. God determines the number of stars and knows each by name. Isaiah 40:26 says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And then I thought, God knows my name. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's John chapter 10 and verse 3. And then in verse 11 it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that brings us to the wonder of salvation. We've been singing about it tonight, haven't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world to be our salvation. Creation is so wonderful, but knowing that God knew in advance that man was going to fail him and yet put it all into place, it means so much more, that this salvation plan means so much more than our words could ever express. And then I thought that I am chosen. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Isn't it wonderful that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. His wonderful light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Exodus 15 says, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? I thought of the wonder of miracles and healings that God still performs today. The wonder of God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It's wonderful. Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And then I thought of the song, the wonder of it all. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to know that God loves me. This great, awesome, wonderful God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves even me. How can we not recognise the wonder and the worth of such a God? But to walk with God requires action. Walking with God is a lifestyle and an habitual pattern of conduct that covers every aspect of our life and every moment of our lives. Micah 6 verse 8 says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I thought about Enoch. He lived 365 years. That's a little bit longer than you or I will probably live. Yet his testimony was that he walked with God in habitual fellowship with God. And then he was no more, the Bible says, because God took him away. And Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. God's view of the people of that time, God saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his heart was only evil all of the time. Yet Noah walked with God. We have no excuse in our walk with God because we've got everything that God has for us. What was Noah's secret of success? The Bible says that Noah did everything just as the Lord commanded, and we should do the same. In Matthew 22, Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees who asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. This is our starting point. But as we study the word of God, we will find so much more to instruct, help, and to guide us. 1 John 2, verse 3 to 6 says, We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. This is the message we heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So walking with God is about fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. And that's one of the reasons that we're here tonight, isn't it? Just to worship God and to fellowship with him. The dictionary definition says that this is the state of showing mutual interests or activities. It is companionship and friendship. Exodus 33 says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And John 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. It is amazing to think that God would be friends with us. However, I believe there is a word of warning here, because there is a statement that says familiarity breeds contempt, and we need to be careful of this. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12 says, and know, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So we must balance friendship with reverential fear of God and never show contempt for his ways. And I thought of the idea of mutual interests. What interests does God have that we should also have? God's desire is to bring us back into his image, to be as he created us to be. Romans 8 verse 28 to 30 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. In Corinthians we read, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being changed little by little once more into the image of God. And our deepest desire should be to be more like Jesus. And the second thing that I feel is very important to God is mission. God gave us this command in Matthew 28. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then comes his promise, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And God's heart is shown in 2 Peter 3 verse 9. He does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. When we're walking through various parts of Snowdonia, it's good sometimes to have something to lean or to rest on. I've noticed that walking poles have become very popular, and you can buy them from almost anywhere now, but they give support and they make walking easier. There's a picture in Genesis 47, verse 31, and repeated in Hebrews 11, verse 21, where Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on his staff. My question is, who or what do we lean on? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But too often we rely on our own strength when we should rely on God. When we did campaigners in this church years ago, the campaigner promise was, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. And Psalm 23 verse 4 tells us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In John chapter 13, there is another picture, this time of a disciple whom Jesus loved, leaning back against Jesus. It is a picture of intimacy, love and fellowship. It is a picture seen in the midst of a very difficult time, for Jesus had just told his disciples that one of them was going to betray him. It's interesting to note that the only disciple who stayed with Jesus at his moment of greatest need and distress was John, the only disciple standing at the cross when Jesus died. We will only stay on course if we learn to lean on God, to lean on all that he has for us, if we learn to lean on the example of Jesus, the power and promise of his word, and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There was a very popular song, "Lean on Me," written by Bill Withers in 1972. "Lean on me when you're not strong and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on." God is our friend, and God will give us the strength we need to walk with him. And then finally, I thought of being kept by God. 1 John 5 verse 18 to 20 says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." I've often heard people say that we are no longer kept than kept by God. However, we do have a responsibility to play our part. The scripture that I've just read continues in verse 21. "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." An idol is anything or anyone that gets in the way of our relationship, of our fellowship with God. And other scriptures that show our responsibility. Ephesians 4, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We're called to keep ourselves pure, to keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And God promises us, as I read before, that he will keep us safe. In Isaiah 26, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Jude 24, "To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Make every effort. And 2 Peter 3:14 says, "So then, dear friends, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless and at peace with God." And that's talking about being ready for our Lord's return. The following words are taken from a song which many of you will recognise. I've only taken some of the words out. "I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. I'll walk with God. I'll take his hand. I'll talk with God. He'll understand. I'll pray to him, each day to him, and he'll hear the words that I say. His hand will guide my throne and rod, and I'll never walk alone while I walk with God. In Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So to walk, consider the wonder and the worth of our God. Act on everything that God wants us to do. Lean on him in all times, but especially in times of difficulty when we are weak. And K, keep ourselves to him and God will keep us. My conclusion and prayer is this as we endeavour to walk with God, taken from Numbers 6 and verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.